welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin Radlin here, and I've got Martita with me again today. I'm just jumping right in there and letting everybody know you're here.
Hi, everybody.
So glad that each and every one of you joined us today. We are a topical devotion / podcast here on 91.5 FM. We're on the radio every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. You're probably listening at that time now, but if not, if you're listening by podcast, then you've found our website and podcast location, and that is at ourlighthouse.net. And you go to the Turn the Light On tab on the Lighthouse Christian Church website, and you can get right in there with us and catch up. If you missed it in the morning, you didn't catch it during the exact time, you can go back and listen anytime you want. And we've been really having some great topics. I've really been enjoying this new year. We're doing a series at the church right now, Martita, called The Open Door in 24. Opening it up. And, we've talked about all kinds of things, having Jesus to the core in our belief system. And, you know, we're just really pressing into all the different things that God has for us in our lives. And, you know, I want to kind of talk about that today because I brought the topic today.
Yes.
And, you know, the topic that I felt like the Lord really gave me was living a godly life. What does it look like? What does it mean to live a godly life? Because so many people out there are like, well, you're ungodly. You don't live your life for the Lord. You don't do things the way God would want you to do. So I figured, why not share with everybody the things that we should be doing, living a godly life, so that we can balance our life off of that and figure out what it is we should be doing every day, each and every moment as we go through this life. So, you know, when a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they begin this process. And we have all kinds of little Christianese terms like sanctification and justification and redemption and
holiness,
things like that. And, you know, the goal is this, that we would become holy by the blood of Jesus. We're really never going to be holy in our own strength, and that we would be set apart. And that's what living a godly life looks like. It means that we're trying to reflect the character of God.
Okay, so I love this as you're talking, but I want you to understand that you become holy and set apart the moment you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin, and that's specifically in your spirit. As we've been talking before, you know I'm all about the spirit, soul, and body. And so we start, the moment we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, everything is holy, righteous, and cleansed in our spirit. But our minds and our bodies
need a little help.
Yeah, they need a process here. So I want to read Romans 12, 1 through 2.
Okay.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern that is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
So good. I've been hearing a lot so far this year on renewing your mind, renewing your mind.
So, but what are we renewing our mind with?
Right.
That is what makes the whole difference in here. If I want to know more about God, the number one book that I need to seek out is the Bible.
Sure.
There's a lot of books out there that a lot of people write, and they're good.
Yeah, for sure.
But the one that you need to go after is the Word of God. Okay, because
oh, yeah.
And John first, and you know, when we go to John, it says that the Word was God.
The Word was with God. The Word was God. Yeah, John 1:1.
So that means that
the scriptures
are Jesus Christ. The scriptures are spirit and life. They have power, they have authority, and they have a way of transforming us.
That's so good.
So well, that
even
is
like
so
with
important.
Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I appeal to you by the mercy of God to present your body as a living sacrifice. You know, if we're going to live a godly life, then we should be presenting our physical bodies
yes.
to God as a sacrifice. We should be our emotional body, you know, our heart and soul and everything inside of us. And then our spirits are already renewed. If we've given our life to Jesus, you know, our spirits are made new. So it's really that soul and that flesh
yes.
that is going through this renewal process, that is learning how to live a godly life. And
when I walk into a place and people look at me, what do they see?
Sure.
How am I representing the Lord? And that makes a difference.
Sure.
The way I walk, the way I dress, the way I speak, the way I treat people, I am Jesus' ambassador. So how am I representing the Lord? And those are things that we need to learn, because a lot of times we don't know.
Yeah.
And that's what
it's
we're
like
here
for. Like a
kid
growing up.
Yes.
They're just going through life and they don't know something's wrong until you explain it to them and then correct them and then discipline them if they keep doing the same things after you've told them not to, you know? And it's the same in our relationship with God.
This blows me away. I was talking to somebody that is 34 years old. She's a pretty new believer. And she was doing some stuff, you know, that somebody showed me on Facebook and some pictures and stuff that she was doing. And I thought, I don't want to watch that. And we sat down, we were actually talking. And she said, did you see some pictures on Facebook of me? And I said, I did, but I didn't want to see any more. And she goes, why? And I said, well, that's not who you are. And when I saw that, it was, you know, it was a good view of who you are. I said, you're holy, you're righteous, you're a new person, and that doesn't show the new person. And she said, nobody ever told me that.
Yeah.
She goes, I didn't grow up being taught that.
Sure.
So this is all new to me. And she says, thank you for sharing that with me, because I never saw, I couldn't understand.
I want to do better now.
Yes. And yeah. She says, I had no clue of that. And then she goes, she eliminated it from Facebook. And she says, thank you so much for taking the time to show me something that I didn't have a parent to show me that.
Right. Well, look at 2 Timothy 2:15-16. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Listen to that. And who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. And I look at this verse and I'm seeing a couple things. You know, don't exhibit behavior that you would be ashamed of.
Exactly.
You know, before God, I've done it. I've had behavior in my life that
I think
I was
we all
ashamed
have done
of.
It.
And then, you know, you got to take the word and apply it to your everyday practical application of life. But this one really caught me. It says, avoid godless chatter. You know, when you're speaking over people and about people and you're, I mean, basically it's gossip.
Yeah, thank you.
Right?
I was like, just call it out as gossip.
And what you're speaking over people and about people can affect your godliness.
Yes. And don't use...
Your words can poison it.
Don't use prayer as an excuse to
right?
gossip.
You know, I think it boils down to this, Martita. We need to be found lifting people up.
Amen.
Not tearing them down, not speaking negatively of them, not speaking and cursing them with our words, right? But speaking life over the entire world as a believer who is trying to live a godly life.
Mm-hmm.
My directive should be, in all honesty, to lift everybody around me up.
Yes.
Not to be tearing people down, talking about them. Oh, do you hear about so-and-so
mm-hmm.
or this and that? So-and-so did this. No, we want to honor people.
Well, you know, Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the people. I came
right.
to save them.
Right.
He came to encourage people. And therefore, he is our example and our lead. If he didn't come here to condemn, who are we to condemn anybody?
Right.
We're here to uplift and help people to move them up and lift them up.
Yeah, and that's called honoring them.
Yes.
You know, in John 5:23, it says that all may honor the Son. Jesus needs to be honored and lifted up. Amen. For all that he's done for us, he is incredible. And just as they honor the Father, whoever we should honor Jesus, and whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent them. So, you know, honoring God is a tremendous way to live a godly life. When you honor him, you know, you live to please him. And honoring him is a very, I don't know, particular part of living a godly life. If you live a life and you don't honor God in that life, you're not living a godly life. Mm-hmm. And so what would you think are some different ways that we could maybe honor God in our lives that we could bring, you know,
let's start glory with to time.
Or, yeah.
Time is the one thing we can't get back.
It's the most precious commodity we have.
It is so important. And, you know, I was reading yesterday on the Bible, Jesus' main focus or main purpose when he came down to earth was to honor and glorify the Father. That is, he took every minute and everything he did was with the purpose to honor and glorify his Father. What about our time? Are we too busy for God? Because that's the thing. We say God first, but when we go and look at how we split our time, a lot of times we don't have time for God.
Right. I have to say guilty. In my own life, I've done that. I've been too busy for God in my life at times. And we've really got to step out and are we allowing God to have time in our lives?
Are we purposely making time for God?
A godly person makes time for God.
Yes.
I think that's the best way to say it.
And in the mornings, I'm guilty. Sometimes you jump out of bed and before you know, you're like running. Oh my gosh, I'm late. And then you don't take that time to say, good morning, Lord. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we take off. And we forget to include him in our daily life. And then 10 o'clock comes and we're exhausted, frustrated, and we're like, oh my gosh, Lord.
I didn't get in the Word. I need to go do it.
I didn't even
You're
talk
too
to
tired.
You.
Yeah. You're falling asleep in your Bible.
You know, and time is so precious.
It is. You know, another way that we can honor God is through our abilities. You know, when I was first given my life to Jesus and I was a heavy metal singer back in the day. I would sing and play music. I was more of a producer type. You know, we would write. I would help write the music mm-hmm. with the guitarists and then put the lyrics to it and everything. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I had that amazing musical ability, but I didn't want to do it for the devil anymore.
Amen.
I came to this conclusion that I was living my life for the devil. And I was mm-hmm. like, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to live a godly life. And I had to take that ability of music and I had to say, I'm not going to use that for the enemy anymore.
Amen.
And I had to take my abilities and say, I'm going to live a godly life with my music. And then I also did construction and different things. And I would work with my hands and I would build things for the kingdom. I'd go on missions trips and build churches and do things like that. Now, I still built things for people, mm-hmm. You know, but I tried to honor God in all that I did. I did things with people with integrity. I didn't take advantage of people.
Yes.
And things like that.
One thing I used to do when I, in South Florida, I had a route of pools that I was cleaning pools. And I will always say, Lord, you own this pool and I'm cleaning it for you. So it was not like I was cleaning it for the people.
Right. I was doing it as unto the Lord.
Yeah. So
I love that. Such a great attitude.
I didn't have the heart to say, oh, I'm going to skip on this today because I was doing it for the Lord and he's watching me. So every time I win, I'm doing it unto the Lord.
Sure.
You know, and it changes your attitude. You don't look at things the way you would for somebody else. Maybe you don't like this person and you're like, I don't really want to do this or I'm tired. But when you're doing it for the Lord, it changes everything. And that way, everything I did, it was to honor God.
Sure.
And the people got blessed because I did my best all the time because I was doing it unto the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. What's another way we can honor God?
With our bodies.
With our body. That's a good one, you know. We can choose to do some ungodly things with our body at times. There's a lot of sexual immorality mm-hmm. going on in the world, if you haven't noticed. And then, yes. you know, even with our eating habits and food.
Yes.
And I mean, just there's a lot of different things
so
that people
really
do to
have
abuse
to look
their
at
bodies.
It this way. this is the temple of the Lord. Our bodies are the temple of the Lord. Therefore, how are we treating it?
Sure.
Are we taking care of it? Because it's not only the way we dress, the way we walk, the way we talk, how we present, like you say, sexually. Are we being clean? Are we taking care of it? Are we putting the right nutrition? Are we exercising? Are we resting? Because there's times as a mom when my three kids were little and I was running a million miles away, they were all in bed and it's 12, 1 o'clock and I'm still working.
Sure. And stress can be a killer, you know, or you're too blessed to be stressed.
That's right. I like
maybe,
that.
Maybe not. But what about our finances? You know, are we honoring God with our finances? I've been a tither my whole life.
Me too.
As a believer for over 34, 35 years now. I've given into the kingdom of God. I've sown. I've believed God. I've seen miracles in my finances, all because I was willing to submit that. You know, the Bible says in, the scriptures that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, you know, and that was Jesus talking.
That's right.
You know, is your treasure the kingdom or are you using your money to, I don't know, do other things that aren't godly in your
life? Not
tithing,
you know, or not giving anything, because a lot of people say, oh, I'm not giving the money because I don't know what they're doing with my money. Right. That's not your job.
Sure.
You need to follow what the Lord says. Give your tithe, and the people in the church are responsible for it, and the Lord will look after that.
Sure.
It's not our job to see what you're spending the money on. It's my job to do what the Word says.
Right.
And when I tithe, my 10%, my other 90% is blessed.
Sure. I believe that 100%.
You know, we have tithed all our lives, and there's been situations that I have sat there and I said, Lord, if you don't show up, I'm going to lose it all.
Right.
And I don't know how it all turned around.
It does.
Every single time.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, financially blessing the kingdom, getting in covenant with God and tithing and all of that brings the favor of the Lord on your life.
I believe so.
I do believe that God does honor that stuff, and it can be a powerful way to do life. But I think the last one I want to talk about with honor is this, you know, that we need to honor God with our hearts.
Amen.
You know, there's so many Bible verses that encourage us to make God the number one thing in our lives, and that's what's controlling your heart. Is God, and let's make Him number one this year. Let's move God into that
our
position.
Heart to Jesus.
Yeah,
you know, I have to choose to say, Lord, I give You my heart. Lord, fill me with Your presence. Fill my heart with You, with the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, our heart starts to change.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and I'm going to add this. We have here prayer. Prayer is so important. What is prayer? Prayer is having a two-way conversation with the Lord. So that means spending time with the Lord. So for me to give Him my heart and to give Him my time and my abilities, my body, my finances, is because I have a relationship with Him.
Sure.
And the more time...
That relationship is prayer.
Yes, because that way we're having communication with each other. We're spending time together to get to know each other. But did you hear when I said it's a two-way conversation?
Sure.
It's not me doing all the talking
and
not listening.
That's true. I think a lot of people miss that aspect of prayer. You know, we've got to listen. We've got to allow God to speak back to us. And then we've got to learn to recognize His voice. You know, there's three basic voices that we hear a lot of times when we are in a prayer moment. You know, sometimes we hear God's voice, sometimes we hear our voice, and sometimes the devil will speak to you in moments in your life. And even through prayer, you know, Jesus was confronted by the enemy, and He was like, I'll show you everything, I'll give you everything in this world if you'll bow down and worship Me. Well, that's not the Father's voice, you know, and Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And
but you know what? He used the word. Every time Satan came and tempted him with something, Jesus knew His word, and He says, it is written, and He came back to Satan with the word, but Satan knew the word too.
Absolutely.
So we need to understand, it's not just knowing the word. You have to know it and know that it comes from the Lord, but it so important to quote it correctly. So when you read and you study the word, Don't switch it to make it work for your situation.
Right.
You need to say, Lord, show me and give me revelation of your heart.
It's so good.
And you, receive that.
Yeah. Matthew 26:41, Jesus says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, if we're going to overcome the flesh, if we're going to live our lives for God, if we're going to live a godly life, then we're going to have to let our spirit man become stronger than our flesh. You know, I always say it this way. You've got a tug of war going on between the flesh and the spirit, right? But the soul is the way you win control. Whoever wins the soul wins control. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, right? We've talked about emotional. We've talked about physical. And all of that ties in. But whichever one, the spirit, if it wins the soul, it wins control. How do you win the soul spiritually? You read the Word of God. You renew your mind to the Word of God. You find the will of God and make that your will. And then you emotionally don't allow your flesh to lead you down roads that you don't need to go. You find your way, and then your spirit and your soul will overpower your flesh, and your flesh will have to submit and come along with you and live a godly life.
That's right.
But if you submit everything to the flesh, and your soul and your, you know, which is your mind, will, and emotions, again, are all leaning with the flesh, and you think your spirit's going to be able to outpower those two working together, you see, it's all about renewing that mind. And living
and
your
feeding
life.
Feeding the spirit.
Yes. And making yourself spiritually stronger so that you can be a godly person, so that you can live a godly life as you go through the day-to-day of everything that you're doing in this world. And
our example is Jesus.
Yeah.
He took himself away from people to spend time in prayer with the Father. It's about spending time, is that relationship. Again, we're coming back to time. Honor God with your time.
Yeah.
Jesus went and spent time alone with the Father to get closer to him and to be able to do what he wanted him to do.
Man, this is so good, Martita. I hope you guys are enjoying the program today. Thanks for turning the light on. We are going to take a quick break, hear from a few of our sponsors, and then we're going to come back and talk more about how we can live a godly life.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Join us every Thursday night for Discipleship Encounters here at Lighthouse Christian Church. That's right, it's Thirsty Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and we're spending time learning, encountering, and becoming equipped as believers for the great revival that's beginning to unfold. Come experience the power of the gospel and learn how to share Christ in a modern world. For more information, go to ourlighthouse.net or show up at 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's no cost for this event, and child care is provided.
Yeah. Joyful. Today. Are you 18 to 29 years old? If so, Launch Young Adult Ministries is the place you want to be. We meet every Sunday night at 6:30 in the Double Bubble at Lighthouse Christian Church, 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's fun and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you to where God wants you to be. For more information about Launch, check us out at our website, ourlighthouse.net, or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministries. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm
gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. It's Pastor Kevin here today with Martita Stanton as well, and we've been talking about how to live a godly life, Martita, and we've gone through some different ways we can honor God with our time, our abilities, our body, our finances. We can, you know, have our heart pure towards Him. You shared scriptures out of Romans and Timothy. What would you say if we were just to say, what does it all boil down to, living a godly life? What does it boil down to? How do you put it all in one big lump sum?
I'm going to read what the Word says in Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
You see, when we prioritize God in our thoughts and the different things that we're doing, the decisions that we're making, and the way we're living our life, that's how we prove to Him that we, for one, honor Him and that we want to live a godly life for Him. And this attitude of seeking God and, you know, His direction for our lives and everything that we do can really be transforming for us in our lives. So,
to me, the main motive of my heart should be to honor and glorify Jesus Christ, Father, Abba, Father, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
If my heart motive and my mind motive puts God first above all else, everything else will fall into place. My emotions will fall into place, my body will fall into place, and my spirit will be on fire for God.
So I guess what we're trying to say to everybody who's listening today is, put God first in your life. Look at your life. Begin to look at your priorities. Look at the way you're living. Look at the what your life is and how it's happening right now, and say, is God first? And if He's not, you may not be living a godly life. And, and to live that godly life, let's move God up to the top. Say, God, you're number one. You're first. You're first place. I'm going to live for you. I'm not going to live for, you know, my job. I'm not going to live for my wife or my husband or my kids first. I'm going to live for you first. And then I'm going to allow them to experience me after living through you and see the real love that you have coming into those other relationships.
Well, the Word says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You go after God, and everything else will fall into place.
Yeah, amen. I believe that with all my heart. So, guys, we hope you enjoyed the program today. Go out there and live a godly life in front of the whole world, and they'll want what you have. I promise they'll see you, and they'll say, God, I want more of that in my life. So, God bless you guys. We'll see you next time on Turn the Light On.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Marathon, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.